Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Thank you. You may be seated. In verse 1, Paul says that he is speaking to them that know the law. Patrick Anderson is a wonderful attorney here in Enid. He comes to our discipleship group on Tuesday morning. He now works at Central National Bank in their trust department. And Patrick Anderson asked this question. He said, when Paul says, "I speak to them who know the law," what law is he referring to? For there is the law of the city, there's the law of the church, there's the law of mom and dad, there's the law of God in Scripture. What law is he referring to? Well, that's how I want to begin this morning. I want to show you my definition of the law. And technically, it's not mine. I've borrowed it. But for the purpose of this message, it's my definition. Paul was writing to the early church who was very familiar with the law of God as revealed in the Old Testament. In fact, this is the definition I want to use for the law this morning. It is the body of law revealed in the Old Testament, sometimes called the Mosaic Law, that regulated one's religious, civil, and moral life. You couldn't get up in the morning as a believer in the early church without thinking about the law. Because remember, most all of the early church was Jewish. Now, pretty soon, some Gentiles came to faith in Christ and Christianity spread among the Gentiles. But in the beginning, it was for the Jews only. And their entire lives were regulated by the law. They were told how to wash their hands, how to wash their feet. They were told the sacrifices that they were to bring. They were told how they were to approach the priest. They were told how many times they were to go to Jerusalem. The law guided their lives. They knew the Ten Commandments by heart. They could quote them frontwards and backwards. They knew the law of God. They knew the civil laws of Israel, the social laws, the personal laws, the moral laws. It was all called the law. In fact, there was an attorney that came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, would you tell me what the greatest commandments in the law are?" And Jesus summarized the law by saying this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then he went further and said this, "All the law hangs on these two commands." Now, when I was a kid, my Sunday school teacher would have us memorize that verse. And we would learn that this was the law of God, to love God with all our hearts and all our souls and all of our minds and our neighbor as ourselves. And then we were challenged and motivated to love God and other people like this. And it was taught as a good thing, something to be pleased about, something to be happy about. But as I read the law in the Old Testament, I get goosebumps of fear. Let me show you what I mean. This law, which the early church was very familiar with, was explicit in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is called the Book of Law. It's in the Old Testament. It's the book from which Jesus Christ quoted the most. And in the book of Deuteronomy, listen to what God says about His law. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Be careful to do everything I command. Now, why does that give me goosebumps? Well, if I were an employee and my boss came into my office and he said, now, Wade, I've got some instructions for you, and this is what I want you to do. And then he parted with these words. Now, Wade, be careful to do all I command. Ooh, I would think to myself, man, he means business. And God did mean business when he gave his law. Listen to this. Moses said in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6 to the people of Israel, God's people, observe all the commands of the Lord. In other words, you can't pick and choose what things you like. You know, Baptists are really good at this. Baptists like a law that they can conform to. And so what we do is we say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that and so on and so on and so on. And you look around, you find other people who do those things and you feel better about yourself because you're not doing what they do. Oh, well, the law of God says, observe all his commands. Ooh, goosebumps here. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, Moses said, you provoked the Lord to anger. Why? Because they violated his law. Now, remember, Paul is writing to people who knew the law. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 9, verse 19. Moses said, I feared the anger and the wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough to destroy you. Wow. Now, by the way, the Lord's anger is a righteous anger. It's a holy anger. It's a pure anger. It's an anger that you have really no comprehension of. It's a righteous anger. In God, there is no sin. Moses was scared to death. He was scared silly because the people of Israel violated the law of God, and God was angry enough to destroy them. So you know what Moses did? Moses gets down on his face, and he lies prostrate before the Lord, and he fasts for 40 days. It's told us in Deuteronomy 9, verse 25, Moses said, thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And in verse 26, it says he fasted. Now, have you ever tried to fast for 40 days? Have you ever abstained from food for 40 days? I tried one time. I made it to the third day. I was sick. I could barely stand. Now, what in the world do you think drove Moses to get on his face before God and pray without eating for 40 days? He was afraid. He was afraid of the anger of God because the people had violated the law of God. By the way, the Apostle Paul in Romans has already told us that creation has taught us this, that our conscience teaches us this, that God's law is good, it's right, it's moral, it's pure. And so really, there is no disagreement with the law of God within the heart of man. Now, you may lie about it and say you don't like it, and you may tell people it doesn't apply to you, but all I would say is it applies to everyone because we are the creation of the Creator who has established his law, summarized by Jesus in loving God and fellow men. And if you fall short of the law in any area, you are cursed. Oh, by the way, this is why churches are really, really, really confused. You see, churches give out the message to people who don't know Christ. Smile, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Honk, Jesus loves you, and everything's hunky-dory, and so on. And then people, they think, see those signs, and they say, oh, God loves me, and then they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Then they come into the church, and then what does the preacher do? God's going to get you. God's going to get you. This is what God demands. Do this. Do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Do this and be blessed. You do this, you'll be cursed. And it's almost like churches have Ebal and Gerizim. And the preachers are shouting the law. And the Christians are saying amen. And what we should be doing is this. We should be giving the world the law and telling them the law. But you know, you don't sell bumper stickers that say frown. God hates people who violate his law. It's not popular. But see, what happens is, it's only when you understand that you violated the law of God that you begin to realize your need for a Savior. But what we should be doing is telling the world the law because they're married to it. But when they marry another Jesus Christ and come into the church and are converted, all we should be doing is giving them grace. All should we be doing is telling them of the Lord Jesus. We've got it reversed. We give the world grace and the church law. We should be giving the world law and the church grace. Now let me show you what I mean. Paul goes on in our text and he says, I'm writing to those who know the law. Now I think you have a little bit of a comprehension of what he's talking about. He's talking about the law in the Old Testament, the law that says, obey God and be blessed, disobey God and be cursed. It's a right thing. That's the way it should be. But as he's already said in Romans, that there's no one who deserves the blessing of God because we are all sinners and fallen short of his glory. So Paul goes on and he says this. He says, I have died to the law. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about my own experience, my death to the law. It's found there, beginning in verse 2 and then going through verse 4. Paul gives us first an illustration of a woman who is married to a man who's her husband. She is bound to the law of marriage as long as her husband is alive. But Paul says, by way of illustration, that something happens. The husband dies. Now, when the husband dies, the woman is free from the law of marriage, and she marries another man and doesn't commit adultery because the first man has died and the second man is now her husband. Now, if the first man had not died, she'd be committing adultery by marrying a second man. So, Paul, in using a natural illustration, moves to verse 4 and begins to talk about our experience as Christians, where he says, wherefore, my brethren, you see, he's talking to Christians. You also are become dead. Let me show you what he's talking about. First, the natural man is bound to the law. A man apart from Christ is married to the law. Let me say that again. If you are apart from Christ, you are married to the law. And the law of God says that you're to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You're married to that. You may not like it, but it's his law, and you are bound to it. Ah, and the sad thing is, you are cursed when you disobey it. Now, is there anybody in here that wants to raise their hand and say they fully obey that law? There's not a soul. Not a soul. But the Christian man is released from this law. He's released from it. Why? Because he has died. Now, when I use the word Christian man, I'm using it generically. It's man or woman. If you are a Christian person, you are released from the law of God because you died. When did you die? Look what he says. Wherefore, my brethren, verse 4, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. When was I converted? When was I saved? You remember that old song, "It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me." And everybody stands up if they were saved on a Sunday. "It was on a Monday, somebody touched me." Everybody stands up if they were saved on a Monday. You ask me, when was I saved? You know what my response would be to you? I was saved at Calvary. Because at Calvary, I died. I died to the law when Christ died at Calvary. How? Because violations of the law deserve what from God? A curse. What is a curse from God? It's the abandonment of Him. A person who doesn't meet His law and is perfect is abandoned by God. He demands perfection. Oh, I'm not perfect. But there was one who came as my substitute who was. There was one who came as my Savior who was. And He who knew no sin became sin for me, as it is written, "Cursed is he who hangs on a tree." So now watch. Christ saved me from the righteous wrath of God by becoming my curse. So that this old law, which said, "Do this and be blessed. Do this and live." It's an external code. This old law I have died to. It's over. It's been fulfilled. Remember, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. Oh, He verily said, "Not one jot nor tittle of the law shall ever be gone." He came to fulfill the law in my stead. Oh, now watch. Because of that, my delight is now found in a new law. Now, I'm picking up the axe right now. And I am coming into your mind and into your heart. And I am laying hold of that axe. And I am striking at that tree of legalism. Let me give you an example. How many of you go through life thinking to yourself, "If I am sick, God must be punishing me because of something that I'm doing"? How many of you go through life as a Christian and in your mind you make deals with God? You know that you have fallen short of what He demands. And so you make a deal with Him and you say, "Okay, God, I'll be better. I promise. Lord, if you'll just get me out of this jam, I'll be better." And so what you're doing is you're bargaining with God. You're living by the law. And you are committing spiritual adultery. You, if you know Christ, died to the law at Calvary, and you cannot live by the old law anymore. It must be a new law. Oh, the new law is called the law of Christ, or the law of faith. And let me show you the difference between the old law, which the natural man is married to, the man apart from Christ, he's married to it. Let me show you that law compared to the new law, which applies to those who are in Christ. There's a difference. Here it is. Number one, the old law is external. It's a written code. The new law is internal, and it comes by the life of the Spirit. This is verse 6. now being delivered from the law, that being dead to the law wherein we were once held, we are now free, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Oh, do you understand what Paul is saying? The Christian life has moved to a new realm. It is no longer living your life based upon an external standard of written law. It is now lived by the Spirit from within. You say, explain what you mean. Well, oh, it's simple. It's really, really, really simple. The external law, the written code of God, which every person apart from Christ is bound to, threatens the wrath of God if it's violated. And so we tell people about the law who are apart from Christ. And we show them the law and we let them know, we love them, but we let them know that they're married to it and that there's a curse coming if they disobey it. Oh, but when they come to faith in Christ, something happens on the inside. They've died to the law. And now it's an internal thing. The Spirit begins doing something within them, whereas the external code said, don't commit adultery. Now the Spirit within them begins to teach them that it's not the external code we're seeking to follow. That God has given me a wife to love, and internally, He is creating within me a desire to focus my attention upon her. But nobody is warning me, shaming me, causing me to be afraid of the punishment coming by violating that code. No, you don't have to. Because within me, the Spirit of God is doing a work, and I am compelled to love my wife by the Spirit of God. This is why what you look for in a Christian person is not their external performance, but you lovingly look to see what is in their heart. I'll give you another illustration of this. If you go to a law church, here's how they do giving. They send you out an external contract that's written in law, in code, so to speak, in plain English, but it's a revealed external standard, maybe a pledge, maybe something that you sign, a document, and here's the thing. A law church will get you to sign that and then say, all right now, you've made a promise to God. Now you fulfill that promise to God, and if you do, you will be blessed. But if you don't, you watch out. God's gonna get you. Now, the way it really is the preacher's gonna get you. But he acts as if he's speaking on behalf of God. That's a law church. What does a grace church do? A grace church says you give as the Spirit compels you to give. And if you have a need, you take from the offering plate. Church attendance. How does that work? We say it all the time to the people of the church. You are free. You're free to come when you want, to not come when you don't want to come. You're free. There's no external law. You come when you want, because we just want you here when you want to come. Now, I know this is where it gets a little tough, but watch this. The problem is, too often as a boss, and I am one, and you are, and too often as a parent, and I am one, and many of you are, you have to have law. Why? Because people who are paid are expected to perform to a standard. Children must have law, because they're married to law when they're in your home. But this is the beauty of grace. As an employer, you can still be gracious to your employees as people while maintaining the law, because they're married to it. And you can be gracious to your kids while in the home, because they're married to the law of mom and dad. But when they leave, and when your employees are no longer working for you, what happens? It's a new law at work. They've died to the old law. And now, what do you want? You want a kid who comes to see mom and dad because they want to. Not because mom and dad makes them. You see, a law-oriented family shames people through curses and condemnation to come back to see mom and dad. But a grace-filled, graceful family frees everybody up from the law when it's not kids or employees. Third, the old law is based upon fear and bondage. The new law is based on peace and freedom. The old law, which everyone apart from Christ is married to, what does it bring? It brings fear and bondage. You ever see a person who's married to the old law apart from Christ? Oh man, they're scared to death. They're driven by fear. Oh, I better do this just right, or God's really going to punish me. Oh, I better do this just the way God wants, or God's going to get... It's as if they have built within their hearts Ebola Gerizim all over again, and the law shouts, and they agree to the law, and they say amen, but they don't fulfill the law, and a curse from heaven falls. They're driven by fear. Oh, but you find a person who's died to the law and has married Christ. They are free and at peace, because the new law of faith says, I am blessed because of the performance of Christ, and He is my righteousness. All right, now, I've cut down at the tree just a little bit. Now let me give it a kick and knock it over. How do you live your life? You have died in the body of Christ at Calvary to the blessings and curses of the law. Now you are free to serve Christ because it's from within, because you love Him. You're compelled out of gratitude, and you do what you do, not because the preacher tells you to, not because there's an external code that makes you, but because you are driven from within.